I slid around the shed at the edge of the track and very nearly stepped on two party-hardy pirates who were kneeling on the ground trying to start a 30-year-old go-kart. They looked up at me and blinked stupidly. Two large cups of punch stood on the ground beside them. "Hey," one of them said, "it's the meat." He reached into his bright red pirate sash. And we will never know whether he was trying to get a weapon or a stick of chewing gum, because, happily for me, Brian stepped around the shed just in time and shot him. And Chutsky came around and kicked the other one in the throat, so hard I could hear it crack, and he went over backward making gacking noises and clutching at his windpipe. "Well," said Brian, looking at Chutsky with something like affection, "I see you're not just eye candy."
"Yeah, I'm terrific, huh?" Chutsky said. "Really useful."
He sounded a little bit down for somebody escaping unharmed from a cannibal orgy, but perhaps getting tasered left an emotional afterglow. "Really, Dexter," Brian said, "you need to watch where you put your feet." We made it to the main gate without further incident, which was a relief, since sooner or later our luck was bound to run out and we would stumble onto a large number of pirates, or enough who were sober, and we would have a very hard time. I had no idea how many shots Brian had left in his borrowed shotgun, but I didn't think it could be many. Of course, there were presumably plenty of kicks left in Chutsky's foot, but we couldn't count on being attacked by any more bad guys thoughtful enough to charge us from a kneeling position. Altogether, I was very glad to get through the gate and back to Deb's car. "Open the door," Chutsky said to me in a demanding tone of voice, and I reached for the car's door handle. "The back door, Dexter," he snapped. "Jesus Christ!" I made no attempt to correct his manners. He was too old and grumpy to learn. And after all, the strain of his failure this evening must have been taking some toll on his always basic etiquette. Instead, I simply shifted to the car's back door and pulled on the handle. Naturally enough, it was locked. "For fuck's sake," Chutsky said as I turned around and I saw Brian raise an eyebrow. "Such language," my brother said. "I need the key," I said. "Back pocket," Chutsky said. It gave me just a moment's hesitation, which was silly. After all, I was quite well aware that he had been living with my sister for several years. But still, I was surprised at the thought that he knew her this well, that he automatically knew where she kept her car keys. And it occurred to me that he knew her in other ways that I never would, too, knew other small domestic details of her life. And for some reason, the thought made me hesitate for just a second, which was not, of course, a very popular choice.
"Come on, buddy, for Christ's sake, get your head out of your ass," Chutsky said.
"Dexter, please," Brian added. "We need to get out of here." Clearly, I was going to be everybody's whipping boy tonight, a complete waste of protoplasm. But raising any objection would just take more time. Besides, anything that could get the two of them to agree was almost certainly inarguable. I stepped over to Deborah, where she lay across Chutsky's shoulder, and slid the keys out of the back pocket of her pants. I opened the back door of the car and held it wide as Chutsky put my sister down on the seat. He began to go through a quick paramedics exam of Deborah, which was harder than it should have been with his one hand.
"Flashlight," he said over his shoulder.
And I got Deb's big police mag light from the front seat and held it as Chutsky thumbed up her eyelids and watched her eyes react to the light.
"Ahem," Brian said behind us, and I turned to look at him.
"If you don't mind," he said, "I would like to disappear." He smiled, his old fake smile again, and nodded toward the north. "My car is a half a mile away in a strip mall," he said. "I'll just ditch the gun and this corny robe, and I'll see you later. Tomorrow for dinner, perhaps?"
"Absolutely," I said, and believe it or not, I had to fight down a very real urge to give him a hug.
"Thank you, Brian," I said instead. "Thank you very much."
"You're very welcome," he said.
He smiled again, and then he turned away and walked off into darkness.
"She's gonna be okay, buddy," Chutsky said,
and I looked back to where he still squatted beside the open back door of the car. He held her hand, and he looked overwhelmingly weary.
"She's gonna be all right."
"Are you sure?" I said, and he nodded.
"Yeah, I'm sure," he said. "You should still take her to the ER, get her checked out, but she's okay."
No thanks to me, and